Hello, everyone. We're already unbearable. Welcome to the main event podcast. For anyone that has just listened to the audio, my good friend Aaron Graydon is raising his arms in the air. I have ruined your start point because normally you'd say, "Oh, no, Aaron," but today's too important. We actually didn't coordinate on this. I just went upstairs because the t-shirt I was going to wear, I just dripped one slight bit of pizza on it.
And are you a pizza as well tonight, man? Where you
as well?
Yeah,
yeah. I had something quick because we're recording the same night as we've been on the spaces tonight with Lewis at FPL Reactions for Fantasy Football Community Scout. So I didn't really have much time, and my housemate didn't want to make too much noise whilst I cooking something up. So we decided to have like a nice sourdough pizza, but then like chop up a chicken breast and season it and stick that on top. Something quick before we decided to do this. But Aaron, before we get on to anything, Newcastle will be in the Champions League next year. This is weird. One of the reasons we decided to do this is a bit of like sort of confirmation in the background was, and I'm quoting almost verbatim here, is, and the good thing about it is we support Newcastle, so we know we can't be biased towards the other teams because that'll be a problem. Newcastle will never get there in a million years, so it's people will like to listen to us more than a Liverpool fan, a City fan, a United fan, etc. Here we are.
I feel like that's the ultimate grading curse, but in a good way.
The ultimate grading curse. Can you say that we're going to finish last in the group, please, at all times?
The thing is, when I try and jinx it, it never works. It's when I try and make a genuine comment, the opposite happens. So
yeah.
Trying to
how are you feeling about it?
Well, obviously, pretty excited. I can't exactly be like, yeah, feel all right. It's just mind blowing. Like, I think the buzz around the whole stadium. I can't wait to see the draw. Forget the final. Like, I just want to see who we've got.
I saw a graphic today where they finalized all the teams in each competition with sort of Villa, Europa Conference, and then was West Ham, Liverpool, Brighton, Europa League, and then you just saw Champions League, Man City, Arsenal, Man United, and the Newcastle badge. And
it's great that Arsenal are there as well, though. We've not talked about Arsenal at all in this.
Yeah, we've never done Arsenal, so that's good. And also, we don't have to talk about Spurs. No offense to Spurs. It's just, you pad them on the spaces tonight is the most disappointing sort of team to invest in.
Yeah, my least favorite team to invest in.
Because it's just Harry Kane, and you never want to take away. I mean, Benzema's gone anyway next year. He's gone to Saudi Arabia, and Messi's probably going to America. But you kind of didn't want to take away from those two and Haaland and Mbappe. So you think really struggled to get him in for his one goal for 11 million. Arsenal aren't going to have that problem. So Arsenal got some good assets. I'm concerned about the assets of Newcastle, I'll be honest. We'll have to see what the draws are. I've seen a lot of people already saying Trippier 100%. There's no bonus point system in this game. So you're going to have to hope that we get bias UEFA officials that just go Trippier player of the match. I think Bruno and Joel Linton will be getting a lot of them for us personally. But
I agree. I also think that Trippier will be too expensive just based on how Tavernier was priced at Rangers for a pot four team because he was $6 million. So he was the same price.
He was on pens though, wasn't he, Tavernier?
Yeah, but so, Rangers, how often are they? They didn't get a penalty.
I think he's going to be at least five, if not 5.5 million here in Trippier. I think it'll be 5.5, personally. But saw that a day. Screamed, yes, man. It's a bit of a dream. It's just going to be amazing. I have been to one Newcastle Champions League game before when I was really young. I went to see Dynamo Kiev 1-2-1. That was the year we lost the first three games and then won the next three games. First team to lose the first three games of the group stage and qualify. Always been a bit of a fact. About the Champions League, it was nice to have that, I guess. So hopefully we get a chance. I've actually applied for a stewarding job at the stadium, just so I can essentially have a season ticket to the Prem games and be there for the Champions League games. I don't care what the hourly rate. I just want to be there.
I've never seen Newcastle lose live before. It was cool. So being about, I think it's been about 11 or 12 is what I counted, including our last European run. So never seen us lose live. So if anyone wants to get me a ticket.
Shameless. But Aaron, we're not yet to talk about Newcastle. We thought this is the first podcast we've done since we've qualified. So I thought it would just be nice, especially since we're both just actually randomly put Newcastle tops on. That wasn't coordinated. Thought we'd have a quick 5 minutes about it. Keep it so excited. But this isn't about Newcastle. This is about, on just really quickly, all the pods and stuff are going to be the same. We might do one Newcastle special next year, but Aaron and I, as much as we joke, we'll keep it the same. Where you're not going to be getting bias and all this sort of stuff. The episodes are going to be Newcastle focused. They're going to be the same. The previews are going to be the way that they've always been. The match reactions are going to be the way that they've always been. We'll start with what game we think's most appropriate to start with, not Newcastle. Maybe match day one. If Newcastle win, we might start with that one. But beyond that, we promise we'll keep the integrity. Just because we are fans doesn't mean that this is a Newcastle podcast. This is a Champions League fantasy podcast. So, with that out of the way, on to the teams that actually matter here, and that's Manchester City and Inter Milan.
Yes, I think the biggest question that we need to get out the way is, how is your team looking in terms of transfers? How many people have you got eliminated? Stuff like that. I've only got three people eliminated, so I'm in a good spot. I have five Man City players and I have six Inter players. That's how my team is looking.
You've got a starting 11 off the bat. I'll have to go through them. I've got Haaland. So we'll go through Man City first. I've got Haaland. I've got Kevin De Bruyne. I've got Jack Grealish. I've got John Stones. So I think I've got four of them. And then in terms of Inter Milan, I've got Onana. I've got DeMarco. I've got Dumfries. I've got Darmian. And I've got Edin Dzeko. So five. Plus my five transfers. So I'm well in place. I've had a little look at my team. What I'm locked into is Inter defence. That is what I'm locked into. I personally think that the best player to go with for this match day is actually to try and cherry pick the Man City assets that you think are going to score goals up front and in midfield and go for a block out of Man City defence in hope to keep the clean sheet. I'm going for the opposite because that's what my team looks like. I'm going for a block of Inter Milan defenders and then in the goalkeeper. And to counteract that, I'm going for a block of Man City midfielders and Haaland.
No, that's fair. We'll touch on like how we split that. But in terms of other people's teams, if they were an AC Milan fan or Real Madrid fan, they might have a lot of them players. And so don't panic over trying to get a full start, like a full 15. Just get your starting 11 and potentially one bench player, just in case you want to go risky and not have a starting player in your starting 11. One of my transfers for last match day was getting Lunin in, 3.8 million goalkeeper. So I've got a ton of funds that I can use. Benzema, Vinicius and Theo Hernandez. So I have got cash to spend. But there's not really that many I think I'm just going to be able to get literally all of Man City's expensive midfielders in as a result of that. But because of how cheap Inter's defenders are, I think a lot of people will as well. But we'll touch on formations later. The biggest things, obviously, I know you spoke about it in the spaces. Must-have players, I would think the must-have players, I think there's going to be certain players that active players are just going to have in their team anyways. I cannot see any team who's still playing the game go without Haaland. I think he's going to be in the majority of teams, and I think he's going to be the most captained player.
I think it's going to be a good indicator of how many people are playing this game is to his ownership. So whatever it says, how many players are all, let's say 2.25 million or whatever, I think it might be at. If Haaland's ownership's at 80%, then there is a maximum of 80% of players playing this game.
I checked when we were doing the awards for the space, and 9% of people still own Neymar. So I think that kind of gives an indication on...
Yeah.
On that. But in terms of that, I think De Bruyne, majority of people will be trying to get him in. I think there's still some teams without him in. I think he's definitely a must-have. My only fear with De Bruyne is that he's been getting subbed early, especially in the FA Cup final. I know that was with this game in mind.
Yeah.
But my fear is that he might not play the full 90. But as a result, we start looking at players who can come off the bench and have an impact. So the rumour is that Mahrez is going to be starting. Obviously, with the Bernardo Silva news that he's going to be leaving after this match. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. I don't know if Pep's known that for a while. But now that Bernardo's came out public, I don't know if that influences that. So it looks like Mahrez is potentially...
timing to do it, isn't it? Why would you do it now? Why? Just wait until after the game. Not in terms of just how disruptive it is, but you might have just screwed yourself out of playing in a Champions League final. And Bernardo Silva deserves it. He's so good. He's a much better player than Riyad Mahrez, in my opinion. And he deserves to play out on the right. And he's done so well against Bayern Munich. He's done really well against Real Madrid. He should be a shoo-in to be starting on the right. And if he doesn't, it's literally because he's came out and said that. I know that there's been opinions and stats coming out from various people like Chris about how Bastoni doesn't like sort of pacey dribbler wingers. Bernardo Silva is very quick and outrageously good at dribbling. Like, he fits the mold. Mahrez is no better at dribbling than Bernardo Silva, I don't think. Maybe he's got another like a trick up his sleeve opposed to Bernardo. But Bernardo's about 5'5" and he's close, tight-knit control of that football, dribbling at pace, is absolutely brilliant. So I don't think it's enough to say that's why Mahrez is going to start. If Bernardo doesn't start, it's because he's came out. And I just think it's mental.
I think when you look at it recently, though, Bernardo Silva's came on in games where Man City need to impose themselves on the ball and they're going to be facing a little bit of a press. I think Inter are going to sit off the ball and just keep compact. So I think this game is actually more suited to Mahrez anyways, because against Bayern Munich, against Tuchel especially, against Real Madrid, they didn't want Modric and Kroos and Camavinga. They didn't want them to impose their game. So Bernardo Silva's a perfect outlet where he can draw attention, let Man City get back into shape. And so I think it's more of a tactic, but I don't think Inter are going to play the same way. I mean, I would hope not. All the teams that have played that way lost against Man City, so they're going to have to do something different. But I think Mahrez, I think when you have like a box full of defensive midfielders and a back five, Mahrez would have better luck picking that than Bernardo Silva, in my opinion. But I think that's why it's more suited to Mahrez. And maybe when the two goals up, Bernardo Silva comes on to just keep possession because he's a nightmare to get the ball off.
Yeah, tick things over.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
And then in terms of, obviously, we know Gundogan, he's got the two goals in the FA Cup final. He's in unbelievable form at the moment. So 6% owned, I'm guessing that'll be higher. Grealish, 5% owned, but he's not really done anything. He's been more of an FPL asset than a Champions League. So is since match day 7, so basically since the knockouts, 2-4-4-3-2-2. Yeah, he's not really done anything, has he? So yeah. We'll see how that goes. I think Phil Foden potentially might be a better option off the bench, or an Alvarez potentially. Punt on Alvarez.
Alvarez isn't someone that we mentioned in the spaces, but he was someone I was thinking of. It's like, how do you get him in? Because he's a forward, isn't he? And what you're kind of gambling on is playing him. And if he doesn't get on the pitch, then that's fine. Because obviously, you definitely need bench players in that case to come off the bench. I just think that being a forward, it's not really worth the punt at five. Like, let's say Alvarez comes off the bench. What do you think his absolute ceiling is? So for me, it's 5 points. So just rather get Rodri.
Yeah, Rodri is. I was going to touch on him. He's actually, I think, one of my transfers that I'm going to bring in. Potentially for Grealish.
I agree. I'm thinking of doing the same, Aaron, and going for if Mahrez starts, it'll be Mahrez, Gundogan, KDB, Foden, and Rodri as my midfield five. Even though I've already got Grealish, I've got enough transfers to get him out, so I don't need to make any transfers up front. I've got Dzeko and I've got Haaland, and I could probably just play Haaland up front if Dzeko doesn't start. And I've got three inter defenders and the goalkeeper, so I can afford to. I can afford to do that.
Yeah. But in terms of Man City's attackers, that seems to be where a lot of people are gonna. I think the majority of people will have all Man City's midfield for going forwards, potentially John Stones. I know Diaz is quite highly owned. I don't have an issue with that either, to be honest, but I don't think he'll have too much to do. I don't think he'll get enough ball recoveries by himself to get an extra point. So you're really just seeing, can Man City hold on to a clean sheet? And that's always a risk with Man City. You never want to bank on a Man City clean sheet. In terms of like goalkeeper transfers, say, for example, in my case, I've got Onana. Second keeper's been eliminated. If people had Maignan or something like that, would you, I don't know if you've got transfers to burn, but let's say if you don't, and I'm choosing between Diaz or Edison, who would you potentially look to bring in that case?
I just have Diaz over Edison every day of the week for every possible reason. First of all, Onana is going to be, in my opinion, a better option than Edison in goal, because he's going to get save points and...
Hopefully. And not too many minuses.
Yeah, I think you can get save points over Edison, and Edison can be culpable in goal anyway. So I just think you'd want Onana. You have to have three inter players. You have to have them. So that's obviously something that's going to be worth speaking about which three would you have. I'm thinking about maybe even having more than three of them. Personally, I'm thinking about having five of them, because that's going to be a differential in itself. But if you only want three of them, then which three do you want? And I just think Onana's the best option out of the lot of them because of the save potential, versus Edison, who's probably not going to make a save, like, or three saves, but might still actually concede because he's against world-class finishers. Well, world-class finishers in Lautaro Martinez. So I'd go for Onana, and if that's the case and you had to have Diaz because you went Onana, then you go Diaz.
I agree with that. I don't think there's actually many defenders. Say if all the usual defenders are starting for Man City, I don't think I would choose Edison over any of them. So I would choose any starting defender over Edison. One, because of price. Edison's more expensive than them all. and two, the ball recoveries will be a lot more, and the threat from set pieces, especially
all of their defenders can score or get an assist. Like Diaz is always in the mix. He's always like a little bit away, but like he gets like assists in the box. Akanji's got goals and assists in him. John Stones has got goals and assists in him. Ake is a threat from set pieces. So any one of them can score. I really like the idea of just going for four Man City defenders instead of trying to guess which one or two of them. Because I don't think Man City are going to win this game 4-5-0. I think if they're going to win, it's going to be by one, two goals max.
Yeah, I think it'll be very similar to the Man United game. Because not only will Man City do have that potential to score four or five, but they always leave themselves a little bit exposed when they do that, and that's the last thing they'll want to do against such a tactician. And obviously with the Inter players, like they're in good form. I just don't think that. I just don't think that Man City are taking Inter for granted, because it's so easy to slip up. Man City have been there before where they've lost one-off games that they should have won. Like they got eliminated from Southampton not too long ago in, was it the FA Cup or
League? It was the League Cup. But I mean, they were playing a very heavily rotated team. But I mean, historically, obviously, they've been knocked out by Lyon.
Yeah.
A bit mental, and the loss against Chelsea when they were heavy favourites for that final. So it's not.
Do you want to know the common formation amongst them, all them teams? Three at the back.
Yeah.
So that makes it interesting, definitely. Mind you, they didn't have Haaland then, though. Going on to Inter, I think the biggest news is DeMarco going to be fit? Completely out of the squad on the weekend's match. He says that he will be fit, but Gerson's played the full, he played the majority of the game, got rested near the end. So that's going to be interesting. Will DeMarco be an early sub? Will that be a good thing in terms of banking a clean sheet if he can make it that long? Or will it just be a 1 point? Will it just be that early of a sub? I think that's going to be the biggest question mark behind the Inter defence. Obviously, can Dumfries get his game? He's going to be probably on that wing. He's going to be against Ake, countrymen. They'll know each other quite well. I think the biggest thing with this game will be Brozovic, Calhanoglu, Barella. First of all, will Brozovic play? I think he has to, in my opinion, but he didn't play either of the AC Milan matches. Barella, I've got in my team currently. He gets five ball recoveries the last match, five in the one before that, four. So he's not going to get two ball recovery points by the look of it, but he loves a yellow card. So great player, and he's in good form.
He's on a 2 point there.
Yeah, he's in good form, but because I've got the money, it makes sense for me potentially to go for Calhanoglu. to go for Judas. Potentially. I think the biggest thing with that is who's up front with Martinez. If you were the Inter manager, who would you start up front with Martinez?
I'd start Romelu Lukaku and I'd bring on Edin Dzeko, because Edin Dzeko is a much, much better forward than Lukaku. And in that first 45 minutes to an hour, you're not going to want to attack. You know, I think Lukaku is going to be better in the counter attack because he is quite deceptively quick, even though he's carrying a bit of weight on him. So I think in those early, that first hour, you want your best counter-attacking team. And Lukaku's like a real bully. So I think that would be your strongest team to go with. But do you know when the game's tired and Man City are maybe a bit more tired and spaces open up, you're earning set pieces, that sort of thing. You want Dzeko in the box. You just want Dzeko in and around that box because he's the best finisher. Maybe on the pitch, and yes, I am including Haaland. I know Haaland's an absolute freak of nature, and his finishing is outstanding. But Haaland's like a full package, isn't he? Like, he's strong, he's quick, he's clever, he's movement, he's aggressive, so aggressive. But if the ball just came to one of them on the volley, I'd probably want it to be to Dzeko. Like, he's so outstandingly good at putting a ball on the back of the net for a man that doesn't look like he should be anywhere near a football pitch. So I think when the game's tired and you're looking for the fox in the box or even on the edges, that's when you want Dzeko at his best. You don't want him trying to join in with counterattacks at all, B, being tired at the end of the game where you need a player to come in clutch. That'd be my opinion anyway.
I would agree with you in terms of starting Lukaku, but I would look at it in a different way. How I see the game going is Man City keeping possession because they have to obviously get the first goal. I think they will before Inter will. And so I think Lukaku has to be the one who almost helps the press. I'd rather have Lukaku pressing than Dzeko.
Okay.
And then when Man City have gotten their goal and Inter trying to get back into the game, that's when Dzeko can come on. And his hold-up play is much better than Lukaku's.
Yeah, it is.
And I think he'll be better at bringing players into the game so that Inter can get forward up the pitch. While Man City are trying to keep possession and push up the field, that's when the counter-attacks will be. And I think that's where you would want Lukaku is when it's counter-attacking. I think when Man City are one goal up, with maybe 10 minutes to go, you're not going to get many counter-attacking opportunities because Man City do not have to attack. They just have to keep the ball. And you want Dzeko to be on the ball so that he can bring Inter players in so that Inter can have the ball for a bit longer because they won't. Haaland will do as usual, bringing it to the corner, kicking it off the players, getting loads of corners. He's so good at that. But
Poetry suggests that Inter are going to go 1-0 up, then Man City are going to go 2-1 up, and then Edin Dzeko is going to score like a 91st, 92nd minute equaliser that gets forgotten in history because Lautaro makes a 3-2. Another Argentinian stealing Dzeko's thunder against his old club.
That would be a Ballon d'Or shout if Lautaro scored the winner in the Champions League.
Well, I don't know if you were on at the end of the spaces. I asked Lewis if Inter won, is Lautaro a Ballon d'Or shout because he's won the World Cup and he's won the Champions League? Obviously, the answer is absolutely friggin' not.
You could say the same about Alvarez.
If Man City win it, Alvarez has to win the Ballon d'Or. That's the way it works. I don't know if you were there when Jorginho got the sixth best player in the world because Italy won the Euros and Chelsea won the... I appreciate Jorginho had significantly more to do with it than...
either of them. Well, actually, no, Alvarez did a good job in the World Cup.
That's the thing. Alvarez did a good job in the World Cup, hasn't done much for Man City. And then Lautaro was the opposite, was terrible in the World Cup, other than that first game. And then is actually been quite decent for Inter of late. And especially against Milan, I thought he was really, really good in those games. Yeah. But yeah, it's just a bit of tongue in cheek because it would just be absolutely. If he bangs in a hat trick, then we can talk about Ballon d'Or.
So I think just to kind of finish off how to set up our teams in terms of formation. If you're looking at a one-off game with the point scoring system, there's going to be more ball recovery points than two-pointers. So how I was going to set my team up is if I choose to play Lautaro, I'm still in two minds about. I'm going to do 4-5-1 and try and maximize ball recoveries.
No Haaland?
No, Haaland. No, that's if I don't play Lautaro. Haaland will be the one. Yeah, I'm not that stupid.
You're not me.
Yeah. but trying to maximize the midfield, trying to get as many Man City midfielders in there. And that would potentially keep Barella in there as well. And then try and get the ball recovery points more than the clean sheet. If they get a clean sheet, great. I don't think I'm going to go all in on one team on defense, which obviously you can do in finals. The thing is, until I've just said that, I'm like, I didn't think Man City would keep a clean sheet. But if that's the case, I would want Lautaro on the field. So if that's the case, I'd do a 3-5-2 with Lautaro. But either way, I want five midfielders for me. But I want at least one of my midfielders to be a defensive mid, so probably Rodri. Because just to get a 4 or a 5 from there. And then player of the match, I think, is... I mean, the last few finals hasn't been the goal scorer. Like, I think the one with Chelsea when they won was Kante who won it. I can't remember who won it last year, actually.
I can barely...
Is it not Modric? I don't know. I'll have to have a look. But either way, it's not always the goal scorer.
I was going to say, I feel like it was him or Valverde. It definitely wasn't... Vinicius Jr. scored the winner, didn't he? Yeah, it was Vinicius. I feel it was Valverde or Modric, which is one of them.
I think it was Valverde, actually, now that you've said that. So he got the assist. So that's also something to consider, is who's going to be the driving force in the midfield, because that's normally who wins these Player of the Match awards. I think Gundogan, De Bruyne, Rodri, I think they're the best shout for it. They're less likely. I think Gundogan, to be honest. But so that's why he's staying in my team. But
I'll be bringing him in, undoubtedly.
Yeah. What about yourself? What about formation-wise for you? What are you looking to do?
It's either 3-5-2 or 4-5-1, which I think is the same as you. So it's 100% inter goalkeeper, 3 inter defenders, 5 Man City midfielders, Haaland up front. The question is, do I play John Stones, because I have him, in defence? Do I play Dzeko up front, because I have him? Or do I take Dzeko out and put in Lautaro and go with Lautaro? But obviously, I'd go Lautaro and Haaland up front and the 3 in defence. Or I would have Haaland on his own and have John Stones. And there's a little bit of Man City cover, but also because John Stones is playing in midfield and he can get a goal. I don't know how I feel. Who do you think is actually going to win the game, Aaron? Like
Man City.
Like, are they going to win?
Yeah, I think 3-1 is the best outcome for Inter.
Because Inter have been very surprising recently. They did keep clean sheets against Milan, or is it just...
When it gets to the big teams, though, Inter are a good team tactically.
Like, because I know they got beat recently off Napoli, but Inter played like a semi-reserve team in that game, so that's not fair. But earlier on in the season, they beat Napoli when Napoli were at the peak of the powers.
And kept a clean sheet.
That's what I mean. Like, against... And I know that they got stuffed off Bayern and... Barcelona and stuff.
That was a new coach, new system.
Yeah, it was
his first time in Champions League.
Yeah, the amount of times I've seen not the favourite win the Champions League final, I don't know. It's such a flip of a coin. Like, there's been times where whoever is the favourite wins, but we're both being alive. I mean, although I don't think you actually watched it, to see a Liverpool team with Jimmy Traore playing right back win a Champions League final against a team full of FIFA Prime icon cards.
Yeah, this is the first time that Inter and Man City have ever faced each other in a competitive match. And it's the first time that an English and Italian team have met in the final that wasn't Liverpool. So, fun facts for you. But I do think that Man City will win 2-0, 3-1. I think it's going to be a two-goal margin.
That's not very good for my Inter defense, mate.
No, and I for differential, I'm not going differential with a captain. I'm sticking with the majority in terms of Haaland. I'm hoping with a differential is just in terms of trying to target the ball recoveries more so than the trying to get every attacker under the sun. That's just me.
But if you think there's going to be three goals, do you think one player's going to get them all? Do you think they're going to be spread out? Man City like to spread out the joy. Even if Haaland scores a hat-trick, he's going to get someone's on for three assists. Is it one player? Is it two players? Is it three players? Do you not want those? Because ball recoveries, yeah. I don't know if anyone's going to get 3 points worth of ball, like 9 ball recoveries is a lot.
Yeah, but I don't know how they count them. Like for Man City to have all that possession, they need to win the ball back.
No, they just keep the ball once they've got it. Surely it'd be
no. They're quite deceiving with ball recoveries. They do.
Rodri, I think there's ball recoveries in that Inter defense, which is why I kind of want to go for them. And if Inter score, the way you're talking, which is really dangerous, Aaron, is 3-5-2 for me. Because if Inter can't just get one, but Inter the type of team that'll put the heads down if they go 2-0 down. Might not win, but is that the game done regardless? Is it just...
Nah, I think they're expecting it, to be honest.
Do you reckon?
So I don't think that they're expecting it. I think it's more so they've got a plan for it. Because the way Inzaghi has his team set up, it's covering everything. And so I think that they'll have a plan if they are one goal down by 70 minutes or 2-0 within 30. I think they'll have a plan for all of the like kind of different scenarios. Obviously, it's no secret how dangerous Man City can be. So I think that they'll have a plan in place. So you are right in terms of Inter aren't going to just be a pushover. They wouldn't be so hard to beat against all these top teams. They wouldn't have got to the final if it wasn't for them being this kind of really tactically advanced. I just think that in terms of player by player, like player for player, tactically, intensity, I just see the Man City kind of just overrunning the midfield and like Man City getting tactical fouls the way that they do. And yeah, I just can't see Inter imposing the game enough. But when I watched them against Roma, they didn't have a lot of possession and they won 2-0. So obviously you never know what's going to happen in the final, but often when a team, like when you look recently, like Chelsea and like when current squads of players, when they've won their first Champions League, they had lost one like a year earlier, like Liverpool, like, and so Man City have been in that final more recently. Some of these players have experienced a Champions League final, while I think it's totally new territory for these Inter players. And so that's why other than obviously the quality, I just think in terms of the experience, I think Man City will be calmer on the day, which kind of what you said during game week 39, I think that's going to be a major factor.
What to do, Aaron? What to do? Food for thought for everyone.
But I do like the idea of just punting on someone who's not starting for Man City. Foden.
Yeah, I'm definitely new Foden.
Foden or Alvarez.
Yeah. They both could be good, but obviously Alvarez is a forward and I just think for 5 points, like if he gets on and if he scores. If not, he's a one-pointer. I don't appreciate that's the same for Foden as well, but at least if Foden scores, he gets 5 points.
Local lad scoring the winning goal to win their first Champions League.
Yeah. That's the thing with the Inter defence. The reason I'm going for them is ball recoveries. I think after listening to what you've been saying, I think I'm likely to go for a 4-5-1, get John Stones in there, have my three other Inter defenders and Onana, pray for saves and recoveries, and then hopefully... You know what? The thing is, I'd still be wanting Inter Milan to score because... Other people have double, triple, quadruple Man City defence.
So. Yeah. I think if you're looking to pick Inter defenders and prioritise Inter defenders, I think you need to go with the centre-backs more than the full-backs. But depends if you want to punt on that early sub with DeMarco if he starts.
Yeah, I've got Darmian and I've got the full-backs. I've got, the wing-backs. I've got Dumfries and DeMarco. They're already in, so I don't really want to be chopping and changing and all that sort of stuff. Anything else, Aaron?
No. I don't know who you're captaining. Are you captaining Haaland as well? By the
KDB. Man of the match, incoming. Player of the match.
Well, I hope he does. I hope he does.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's all it. Excited to watch the match.
Yeah, I'm really excited to watch it. And it's been a strange little season, but we've finally got the end of it. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching, listening to all of our podcasts over the course of the year. It's been a couple of meltdowns on the live stream as well, which I hope everyone found very, very entertaining. I know Aaron's found them absolutely hilarious. You can find us on Twitter at UCL Fantasy Pod. We're available on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, all the good places. Aaron, do you want to give yourself a little shout out on Twitter?
At Aaron_Graydon, or you can follow my PT page on Instagram at Coach Graydon.
Thanks again, everyone. Obviously, please give us a thumbs up on these videos, like, subscribe, all that nonsense that everyone's got to say at the end of the video. That we should probably say at the beginning of the video, but c'est la vie. Best up for the final. Hopefully, there's points galore for everyone, especially me, because I bloody well need them. Aaron, congratulations as well, because this is going to be your best ever season of UCL Fantasy, I think. Both in terms of, I don't have the green curse. In terms of both percentage and points goals, and you're well ahead of me this year for the first time ever. About bloody time. Congratulations. Yay.
Thank you.
Hopefully there's been lots of other people there having personal best seasons as well after listening to us too. See you later, everyone, and we will see you next season.
How are the lads?
How are the lads?